Marcia says, yes, indeed. Appreciate the warm welcome this morning. Hey, Carl, no notes.
Do what?
No notes.
No notes?
No notes.
Uh-oh.
We're in trouble, right?
We are in trouble.
I can't write, and I can't see, and I can't remember, so we're in trouble. To follow up on what you said, I think I told you all before one time, I've had several people die at my feet and my arms, so what it's some. It's, you feel so happy, but at the same time you're sad, at the same time there's so much joy that comes over you, you don't know how to take it. I've been when young people's died and old people's died, but you know, be holding their hands. And it's kind of, hey, when I see Jesus, it's all going to be well. What a great day that's going to be. Well, a lot of things happened since I've been here last time. Share a little bit. Come on now. Share a little bit with you. Linda's not here. She sends her love this morning, and I'll tell you a minute why. Our pastor resigned about 6-7 weeks ago, and he said things completely off. It wasn't true, and we lost 30% of our congregation because of remarks. Got a lot of bitter, a lot of hate in our church right now. I'm sorry to say. But we're going to come back stronger than ever. We've been down the road before, not some quite this bad, but it's going to be okay. The other things happened. They needed new leadership. Well, I'm not new, but I'm old. I've been ordained deacon since 1972. Hadn't served for about 20 years because of health reasons. So that's me come back on as deacon. So I've gone back on as active deacon. Our Sunday school class, our Lord's Sunday school class, as we put it, we started out on several, I'll say 20 some odd years ago. It grew to be 79 to God's blessing. We was having 60 about every Sunday in there. Anyway, we had stepped down from that because of health reasons. Too much pressure, too much stress. So anyway, they asked us to take the class back. And I said, we have prayed about that. So we prayed about it long and harder than I did. So we've got God lead us to take our class back. So Carl, if y'all need a Sunday school class, you got one to come to. But anyway, no, I should have said that. I won't take it to your church. But say the first Sunday we were back, I had 13. Broke our hearts. Back up to 25. So wish God's blessing us again. He's at work. So anyway, Linda decided not to come this month. Thought she needs to stay there and help the substitute. I got a great substitute. Lord, I got to thank God for a good substitute. The other time I was teaching, didn't have a good substitute. Got a good substitute now, so he is fabulous. He's a good man. He's 81, but he's a God-sent man. And I appreciate that he's able to take over this morning for me. And I told Roger, I said, Roger, I got a problem. What's that? I was taking Sunday school class back. Well, they will give you go to the cold business. I said, no, sir. He said, well, good. So I appreciate the good warm welcome this morning. I appreciate you all being here in my second church home. We spent 2 days this week putting up the living Christmas tree. Thing weighs 7,800 pounds without anybody in it. Yeah, it's heavy. I think it holds like 60 people, something like that. So it's a big tree. It's a big undertaking. So if you all want to come to First Baptist Church, Taylorsville, first, second, and third Sunday, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it this time I come. If you're interested, I'll bring the information to you and tell you what I think takes us $2 a piece, just kind of cover expense. I'm not sure how long it's going to be. It's standing on the last about an hour, but it's beautiful. Not because we're doing it, but it is gorgeous. I don't have no part in it, except putting up the tree and taking the tree down. Believe me, it's a chore. It took us, I think, about 3 hours to carry the steel in. So it's a big undertaking. This is our 10th year doing it. And it's a big, 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 big undertaking for everybody's involved. So, anyway, this morning, we're talking on Luke 15th chapter, first 7 verses. You know how many parables Jesus taught? I really don't know. My Bible says 159. This one is. Not a parables. So we will see what we can glean from this verses today. I'm going to be reading the NIV. I can't see it back there. So I'm going to be reading the NIV. Probably the word of the different, but it is close to it. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." We've heard that before. Then Jesus told this parable, "Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I will tell you the same way that I will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repented than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." May God bless the reading of His Word. Our Father in heaven, our Lord and Savior Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day you blessed us with. We thank you for the warmth. We thank you for the beautiful colors that I observe coming down here. The nature is so pretty right now, Lord, and we thank you for your colorful hand. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here this morning to share your word to these wonderful people, Lord, who I love dearly. And Lord, they're such special people. They have to be special people, Lord, to be here to hear me. So give me the words that you'd have me to say this morning, and may they be recipient of the words. May their hearts be opened. May their minds be refreshed as we look to see what you have to say through me this morning. The Lord also give you thanks to Brother Roger and family. We pray that you will give him a time of rest, a time of joy, and most of all, give him time of love from one another. Lord, we thank you for the family that have been dear to me. He's my backbone. He is the one who I share all my troubles with. He shares with me, Lord, we're brothers in Christ. And we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Not one but one, but thousands but thousands you bless us with. Lord, now as we study your word, may you bless us all. In your holy, precious name we do pray. Amen. Now, who were the tax collectors? Exactly, who were the tax collectors? We don't have much about them except they were called sinners. And why were they called sinners? Because they had free hand to collect the money. They set their own rates. And I always, every time I saw a tax collector come by, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down out of the sycamore tree today. I bow with you in heaven. I bow with you in heaven, right? I bow with you at home. I'm going to eat with you today. And man, that shook up Zacchaeus, don't you? But anyway, they collected money for the government. I guess you might call them subcontractors, maybe. Whatever you might want to call them. Anyway, I'm sure that they had probably certain amount of money had to raise, or maybe just whatever they collected they turned in. I don't know if it was on commission or whatever. But anyway, they had a free hand and collected whatever they wanted to collect. Maybe he needs a new coat. I don't know. So he takes up a little bit more. But anyway, they called him a sinner because he was unfaithful in collecting taxes. Sometimes I think the government's kind of sinners because they might take too much taxes. I don't understand. I don't know where the money goes. They spend millions like I might spend a penny. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Who were the sinners? Who were they called sinners? Outcasts? People that didn't wash like clean themselves like the Pharisees did? I'm going to say they were misfits, maybe. misfits. But they were sinners. Pharisees called them sinners because the Pharisees try to live by the letter of the law. And people don't live by the letter of the law today. They live their own lives. So we have sinners today. I'd rather be. But I think what really caught my attention, when they draw near to him to hear what he was saying, they want to hear what Jesus says. Today I'm afraid the church is missing the point. I have to say, I'm kind of less here for you to go. Because I had not an argument, but I talked to him 2.5 hours before he resigned. Tell him what I thought the problem was. I already helped him to do whatever I could to help him. Prove his message, prove his ministers in church, but he did not connect with people. He had no compassion. He never did tell the congregation he loved them. Never did. Been there 8 years. He was different. But anyway, when I had an argument with him, he said, God does not perform miracles. Well, I disagree. You're such a miracle. Brother Roger, miracle. Monica is. We can all know miracles. No, it may take a little time, but he uses men to perform his miracle. Sometimes we pray to God, we say, "Hey, God, where are you?" Sometimes he has a curse, sometimes he doesn't. We don't understand it, but it's his time and his will, not ours. Last Sunday, our lesson was on, not Leviticus, Exodus. We just finished up Exodus. One thing caught my eye. Who is doing the agenda in the church nowadays? People or God? Our problem, we plan things, and if it don't go like we want them to go, then who we blame? We blame God. If God's head of the agenda and follow his leadership, things will work out well. I know several have been praying for about 2 years, this man to leave. He finally left. I'm sorry that he left on bad notes. We've got a lot of dissension within our church, but we'll come out right away. I was called Wolf of Sheep's Clothing, in case you wonder. You believe that too, don't you, Carl?
Yes, sir.
Wolf of Sheep's Clothing, don't you forget that. Yeah, well, that's okay. New leadership, we're going to have broad shoulders, right, Stephanie? It's okay. They all gathered around to hear what Jesus said, but then the Pharisees, here you go. People like to grumble, like to complain, always find fault with other people. We got one in our church, you can't sit and talk to her 5 minutes, 5 seconds, she finds fault with everybody in church. Oh, what she says about me sometimes, you know? Here they find fault with Jesus. Hey, and the teachers of the law, they mumbled. Hey, who is this man? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. Hey, what would happen if you saw Brother Roger go in a beer joint and serve beer and strippers? What would you think? Huh? Hey, I wouldn't think anything to do with God's work. I'd rather sit in a church with 99 people who are sinners than people who don't need thank you for not sinning. Would you? Jesus goes where sinners are. He wants to save people because he loves them. So, who is this man? They need them with sinners. Well, he's Jesus. But now Jesus says, let me tell you a parable. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one. Does he not leave the 99 in open country and go for the lost sheep until he is found? Anybody's had any experience with sheep? Anybody? Well, my dad always had 150, 200 sheep all the time. And they're about the honest critters you've ever worked with. I'm telling you, they'd be out eating, and all of a sudden see one, the flock going this way, here's one all by itself, or two or three. Pay no attention to what you're eating. They're eating sweet grass, all minding their own business. All of a sudden, they look up, where's you guys go? I'm worried. They get lost. They're dumb. They're so dumb that you have to actually go out and lead them out of the field, bring them back home. You put a sheep, herd sheep, a flock sheep. I don't know if it's herd sheep or flock sheep. Which is it? I think it's a flock.
You're right.
Herd is cattle. I think sheep's a flock. I don't know. A bunch of them. You put them in a new pasture field, and I guarantee you, won't have them get out. You have to go lead them out. Get them back to the barn at night. It's silly. See, they always talking about lost sheep. I'm talking about, of course, that wasn't what Jesus was referring to, really. But they related to this simply because it was part of their livelihood then. A sheep gave meat. They gave clothing, plus milk. But I can remember I was probably about 10 years old, and I was a pretty good shot at 22. Dad had no single barrel shot, single shot at 22. Mother always went to town on Saturday to get groceries. Of course, I always went with her. I didn't want to work on the farm, but I would go to get these kids instead. But anyway, we always went to town on Saturday afternoon to get her groceries. We come in one day, and the way the farm set, you go over a hill, and the house sits on another hill, but you go down the valley to get up to the house. As soon as I popped that hill, I saw a sheep gathered in one corner, indication something's in it. I said, Mother, hurry up, the dogs are dead sheep. How do you know? I said, look at them, Mom, they're all gathered in the corner. Sure enough, I went back to the house, I get 22, get a handful of hay, and I take off the field with the sheep for it. By the time I got there, the dog had disappeared, but I had a couple of them going, pulled the wool off and injured the back leg. Usually an old sheep, if they'll get hold of it, they just lay down and say, here I am eating. They will not fight back unless they got a lamb. And it was the time of year that sheep were going to start lambing. So sheep were worth some money then, like they were then back in those days too. They were having trouble out with the neighbor's dog getting into them, so I went straight to the neighbor's dog. Went straight to the neighbor. I said, you dog in the yard? Yeah. Catch him for me. come dog, and his dog got a wool in his teeth, back off, and we'll shoot it. Oh, don't shoot my dog, shoot the dog. Well, I felt sorry for the kid, so I didn't shoot the dog. I said, now, you gotta make me a promise. 10 years old, man, I was in charge, buddy. I was in charge. Now, you gotta make me a promise. You gotta keep your dog, your pet in the yard leash. Do not let him out. If he gets out again, he'll be killed, but that's all right with it. Well, needless to say, about a week, that all came to me, and I'm in the middle of the day. I hate it. I don't think I knew what happened to the dog, but I hate it. When a dog gets a taste of animal blood and know they can get it, they just keep moving along. So this sheep was lost. He was in danger. He knew that he was in danger. So the shepherd knew he was in danger. So what does he do? He goes look for the shepherd. He goes look for the lost sheep. Does he not leave the 99? What good shepherd leave 99 sheep and go after one? If you had someone in church right now and you knew that needed to be in church, and everybody was here except this one individual, what would you do? You'd be asking questions where it wasn't worthy. Well, they fell and hurt themselves. You'd leave right then and go look for her, see what's happening. Are you okay? Had a good friend fell yesterday morning. Yesterday morning fell down the steps. Gash across her head, bruised up pretty bad. Because she was in a hurry, like we all are, same age as I am. I'm stumbling and falling too nowadays. I can turn around and fall. But anyway. And when he finds it, puts it on his shoulder. Sheep weigh about 110 or 120 pounds full grown sheep. That's a lot of weight to carry. We've got a lot of weight to carry on our shoulders. We as Christians, we've got a lot of weight. There's a lot of people out here lost. I guarantee you probably go within 2 blocks of this place, probably find 50 people that don't attend church. I am guilty too. When I run our front door to our First Baptist, I guarantee you we'll table you over 1,000 people don't go to church in Spencer County. Probably don't even believe in God. So people, we've got to work that out for us. Speaking of that, good neighbor, good, true, faithful neighbor. Willing to help you in there before you probably can. I got word about 3 Sundays ago that son had shot himself. 49 years old, he was. What did I do? I grabbed church, I immediately went to him, I never seen a man cry as hard as his life. His first son, don't know why he done it. Having a clue, he was like, then I shot him, came home, went to his bedroom, lay down across the bed and shot himself. Nobody knows why. Lost sheep. So what happened? No one knows. How sad. Got a lot of people like that out here right today. Depending on drugs to get a new life. So what you do, he calls the friends and neighbors together and say, hey, I found my sheep, come let's party. Let's rejoice. Isn't it great to rejoice over sin? Do we actually, when somebody walks us out, profess to be, well, accept Christ as Savior, do we actually rejoice? Are we happy with that individual? We say we are, are we? I'm not sure sometimes I am. Have you ever been on your knees praying? Humbling experience. Because it's closer to love you to God until you meet him face to face. Been there many a time. Scary. Scary. It's your praying to an all powerful God. You know, talking about critics. I think the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, I think were the biggest critics we walked into on the face of it. They were always fearful of Jesus. I think the main reason they were fearful of it, maybe the understanding. I don't think we understand God today like we probably should. But they try to live with a little law that's in the prayer of all of it. I don't know why that we think about living a little law, the old law. We live with a new law, the Ten Commandments. That's your new law. new covenant, thou shalt not. So they criticized Jesus because he didn't even wash his hands like they did. Because he didn't hold his spoon right. He didn't eat his sandwich right. But Jesus risked everything by defiling himself by touching the sick, touching the lepers. He made fun of them. I tell you, I hate talking about my pastor, ex-pastor. Had a real close-color friend of mine, black friend, called me in the hardware store. And he said, "Sir, what kind of pastor you got down there?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "He treated me like dirt." Huh? I went down to live in Christian. He treated me like dirt. And he didn't like black folks. Why? I don't know. It's just like we are. Some of my best friends are black. I love black folks. I've eaten a meal, and I've drank out of the same water jug with black folks. I've worked with them. I've ate with them. Jesus loves us all. Jesus didn't worry about the accusations that's coming to him. He didn't think to think about it. He really done what he wanted to do. It may seem foolish for the shepherds to leave the 99 and go look for the one. But as I said a minute ago, the sheep was in danger. You know, sheep were valuable back then. He may have 99, but one was gone. There may have maybe no food on the table line or something. So they were valuable back then. So they were a livelihood. So yes, he left every one of them and looked for the one because he knew that the 99 would say, God loves each of us individuals. He is so great that he seeks one out and rejoices when he's found. You were lost. I was lost. Jesus searched me out and found me. Now you're a boy. I was going to turn the world around. Now you're old man, I was done home. Baptized Salt River, Ashes Creek actually, with a little hole of water while they kick snakes out of it and be baptized. Always sung, shall we gather at the river? And what we sang when we left out? I can't remember the song. Always same song every time we were baptized. But I'll tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. We might not understand God, why he loves sinners so well. Yes, we should. He's God. He's man. He came to this earth as man. It's God himself. Jesus is God's son who died for us. You know, this kind of love prompted Jesus even sinners to go search for us. It's the kind of love that he died for us. I don't want to be like my little son. I really don't know what it'd be like. I'm sure some of y'all may experience it, but I'm not sure. But I've heard people say it's not fair to lose a child. I don't know how God felt. His only son that he allowed to be crucified. Not because something he done, something I done. Every time I sinned, when I drove that nail a little deeper, pushed that crown upon his head a little bit farther, smacked him again with a whip. So I put my eyes down and the whip back here. What's that for?
It's a pointer.
Well, I'll drive you a whip to get you all stitches sometime. God has extraordinary love for us. Said he'd be searching for you if you were lost. So it's not who needs to repent. Anybody need to repent of sins this morning? Anybody here is a Christian? And accept Christ your Savior? Today's the time to do that. Don't worry about what people say. I was telling some people here a minute ago, some folks standing back running back. Since this has happened to our church, no, First Baptist God's Church. It seems like that ones that live a lot closer have more joy. But our minister of music, thank God, I give him corona, and I give him thanks to hold us together. We haven't got an answer yet. But anyway, he was leading the service one Sunday morning after he was having communion. And he asked for a way out. He said, gentlemen, he said, somebody come to the altar this morning. I want one of you all come and kneel beside me and pray with them and pray for them. 13 deacons sitting there. We had one come, had a lady come forward, crying her eyes out, had no idea what she prayed about. No one moved. I was in a position I couldn't get out, but believe you me, I crawled over for him to get out. Went to the altar and I said, ma'am, I don't want you in your heart. Can I pray for you? Please. Pray for me. Folks, this was all about prayer. Answer prayer. This young lady sitting right here just told me she couldn't see a few years ago because of brain cancer. Now look at her. Working, can see, took no treatments, right? Who did it? God. God answers prayers, folks. I'm a firm believer in prayer. I've seen it. My mother, bless her soul. Years ago, Lynn and I had been married a couple of years. She had heart issues. Going to have to have open heart surgery. She was in intensive care. Night before, they talked to me, oh, it could be very dangerous, may not make it. Next morning, we prayed during the next morning, I'll tell you folks. Doc came in and said, honey, I don't know what happened. You don't need surgery. For what you've done, they're living great. God answers prayers in my life, in your life. Just keep praying. I don't know about Pharisees, I don't know about the tax collectors. I'm not sure if they did repent, I'm not sure if they ever got answered prayers. My dad fight for money. My dad will tell you. So I ask again, is my God searching for you? If he is, then the fact. Step.
Can you stand for the invitation?
Look what happened to us this past week. Young man. For no reason. when I start shooting people, right over people with truck. No sense in this. What's all these people's names? Don't value life at all. Shame on them.